from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio, I'm Amy Standen with Quest, our weekly series exploring Northern California's science and environment. Later this month, the Schwarzenegger administration plans to approve a controversial new chemical called methyl iodide. Strawberry growers who would use methyl iodide to sterilize the soil before planting say it is key to sustaining a $2 billion a year industry. Methyl iodide is highly toxic, and there is disagreement over whether it can be used safely. The State Department of Pesticide Regulation, or DPR, says yes. Scientists who advise the department say no. One concern is that fumes from methyl iodide could drift to places like this, Gavilan Middle School in Salinas, where parents and friends root for girls on a softball team. A few feet past the chain-link fence, strawberry fields stretched the horizon.
Come on, Melissa!
Animal studies show that methyl iodide can cause cancer and miscarriages. It's also a neurotoxin, and scientists say it could damage developing brains in fetuses and children. And so it's especially critical, says Catherine Hammond, a professor of environmental health sciences at UC Berkeley, to ask whether protective measures work as well as they're supposed to.
If you're dealing with a chemical where the outcome is that your eyes burn a little bit, then the risk of 1 in 1,000 times of having a problem, you know, maybe that's an okay and acceptable risk.
Hammond is an expert on chemicals and worker safety. She served on an 8-person panel of scientists that DPR brought in to peer review its own assessment of methyl iodide risks.
If we end up having several things go wrong and the consequences are serious adverse health effects like cancer, like a child who has serious intellectual developments, impairments from that, then that's a tragedy for the individual families involved, and it's a public health problem.
DPR spokeswoman Leah Brooks declined to be interviewed, but said in an email to KQED that the department's strict safeguards will protect farm workers as well as people who live nearby. Those regulations include half-mile buffer zones for schools like Gavilan. Fumigation companies would lay down what are called virtually impermeable tarps to keep vapors down. They'd have to make sure that the school and nearby homes are vacant for 48 hours after the application. Buffer zones would also apply to farm workers in nearby fields. Alejandra Nolasco Campos sits on a sofa in her Salinas home under a framed honor roll certificate from her daughter's elementary school. Campos works the strawberry fields nearby, where farmers currently use a different chemical called methyl bromide. Nolasco says even though buffer zones are generally enforced, sometimes the wind carries a trace of the chemical to where she and others are working.
A veces se siente uno mal mareado.
Sometimes you feel nauseous or your headaches, but if you feel bad and you sit down for a while, then once you've recuperated, you head back.
Campos says it's common for women in the fields to work through the early stages of their pregnancies.
I was one of them. I worked until I was 22 weeks pregnant.
Enforcement of buffer zones is the job of county agricultural commissioners. Bob Roach is an assistant ag commissioner in Monterey County.
Knocking on doors and contacting all the people, and they have to prove to us that they've done all that. You know, if there are any residences that would be in the buffer zone that need to be vacated, they need to show us that those arrangements have been made.
While Roach's office reviews paperwork for every fumigation, a spokeswoman there said that the office's staff is limited and they can only do site visits on fewer than 1%. Ag commissioners also enforce rules intended to protect the fumigators themselves. These are the people who would handle methyl iodide directly. For these workers, by far the most important protection would be a respirator that filters air through canisters attached on the sides. These respirators are designed to reduce exposure by 90%, but there's disagreement over whether that number is realistic. Paul Blanc is a professor of medicine at UC San Francisco and a member of the scientific review panel.
Basically, their assumption is that everyone who might be closely exposed to this product would get the benefit of a respirator in ideal conditions that you might achieve in a laboratory.
Panel member Catherine Hammond has studied how well respirators work out in the field. She says in order for it to function properly, a person wearing a respirator cannot have a beard. He can't take the respirator off to talk to a coworker. And in order to stay protected, says Hammond, a worker cannot sweat.
As you're wearing the respirator and you start sweating, that will start opening up little leakage holes. And anytime you have a small leakage, it actually means a major increase in the exposure.
In her email, DPR spokeswoman Leah Brooks said, quote, "The respirators provide a minimum of 90% protection if used according to our regulations." Members of the scientific review panel say that methyl iodide is too toxic to take chances with precautions that don't always work. John Freunds is a professor of chemistry at UCLA. He chaired the panel.
I honestly think that this chemical will cause disease and illness, and so does everybody else on the committee.
Scientists on the panel say in order to be safe, workers would have to keep their exposure to a maximum of 0.8 parts per billion. DPR's calculations show that the best protective measures available will bring worker exposure down to about 70 parts per billion. On Thursday, state lawmakers will hold a hearing to learn more. For Quest, I'm Amy Standen, KQED Radio News.
Major funding for Quest is provided by the National Science Foundation, with additional support from the S.D. Bechtel Jr. Foundation.